Jesus heals a man born blind. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." After saying this, he spit on the ground and made some mud with saliva and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes opened?" they asked. He replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said.
Awesome. Some wonderful conversations I can hear going on. I'm just going to invite Nathan to come up. He's going to speak to us today, and let me pray for him. Lord, we thank you so much for Nathan. We thank you for the fact he's here today to speak your word. And we just ask for your presence here. We ask that you're with him as he speaks. We ask for open hearts and open minds, and just ask for your presence, Lord. In your mighty name, amen.
Awesome. Actually, I'd love to hear some of your thoughts, if there's anyone from the room that wants to share what stood out to them from the passage. Right. Huh. Okay. I'll have to read into that one. Yeah, sorry. Sorry. The beginning of the blind man's belief? Yes, yep, cool. And just to repeat what Diane said was that Jesus heals during the day. Yeah, yeah, not at nighttime, okay. During the day, interesting, yep. Yeah, yeah. 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 Yeah, that was good. So it was, why didn't he just heal him straight away? Why did he have to put mud in his eyes and then walk to the pool of Siloam to go for a wash? Yeah, great question. Diane?
Another question. Why did Jesus say that this man was born blind so that the works of God could be worked through?
Yeah, yeah. Why was the man born blind so that they could see God's work happen? Yeah. 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 Yep. Yeah, nice. Yep. Nice. Yeah, cool. So there was an element of trust that the blind man had to trust in God. Yes. Yeah, that's right. Yep. Yeah, nice. Yes, yes, yeah.
Yeah, we do believe that these things happen to people's sins, but you don't have to go looking for the demon thing under every rock.
Yeah, nice, that's cool. Yeah, so that was that it wasn't his fault, it wasn't his parents' fault. It wasn't, yeah, we don't need to search. There must be something wrong, there must be some sin that's underlying here, yeah. Could you go into the kids' thing, please? Okay. Amen. Cool. You guys have done my sermon for me. I'm going to sit down. Pretty much, actually. Not quite. Oh, hopefully there'll be some bits in here that will add to what's been said. So recently I got the chance, me and Diane actually, so it was actually really special that Diane got to read the passage. We got to join Craig and Sarah Harris. They're a part of, been a part of this conversation for a year or two. We got to go over to Jordan and to Israel, and we got to experience some of the holy sites up and around both of those countries. And so first of all, actually, I just want to shout out to Katie for looking after the kids for 3 weeks while I was touring the world. So yeah, sure, round of applause actually. Should get you a chocolate celebration day. So we got to go to places, like we got to go up Mount Nebo, which is where God leads Moses and shows Moses the promised land. So we got to stand up there on the mountain. We got to swim in the Sea of Galilee. We got to, and a boat ride on the Sea of Galilee. We got to eat and experience life in the Nazareth village. So they run a village in Nazareth where they run it as it would have been run back in the time that Jesus was around. We went to Caesarea Philippi. We saw the gates of Hades, which is a water. Anyway, that's another different story. We fought the crowds to touch the place where they think Jesus' cross was and where the tomb was. There was just crowds everywhere. And although I wish this could be a travel advertisement, go to Israel. Although there is, actually, Sarah Harris is doing another trip in September. So if you do want to, let me know. I'll get you in touch. But that's not why I'm here. I'm going to share. Obviously, there's so many places that we went to that stood out to me, but there's some that have just kind of sunk a little bit deeper. So I'm going to share some of those thoughts and experiences with you today. So one experience was our visit to Capernaum, or Kfar Nahum is said in Hebrew. Try to get that right. And Capernaum on the Sea of Galilee, right on the shore. And archaeologists have found what they think is Peter's house, so where Peter grew up. And now in all of these special places, they've built monument kind of churches or memorial churches. So they've used the story of Jesus' story, they'd used the story in the architecture of the building. So there's these beautiful buildings. And over the ruins of what they think was Peter's house is a glass floor. And so you can stand up in the church and you can look down and it feels like you're in the house. And I think it was Sarah had the reflection. She just had this picture of the disciples sitting around there and Jesus kind of just putting his head, like just relaxing and just joking around and just talking and sharing good stories. And so that kind of just, that really stood out. And then I'm not sure if it was my thought or someone else's thought, but this is the first church. Right, if the disciples were the first Christians, and this is where they met, and this is where they talked about God, and they had Jesus there to share stories. This is the first church. Our whakapapa, our history, our genealogy links to this place. From this church, from St. Chad's, from all over New Zealand, all over the world, every single church, whakapapa's comes back to here. And that was quite a cool experience. But that's not what I'm going to talk to you about today. Leave you hanging. Another moment that I won't forget from a trip. We had just been to Petra, which is the Indiana Jones filmed place, I don't know. And we'd just been to Petra. We went for lunch to a restaurant, and our tour guide, so this is in Jordan, mainly predominantly Muslim country. Our tour guide was Muslim, and it was a Friday. And Friday is like their Sunday morning, right? So it's their main kind of prayers of the week. So I asked our tour guide, I said, hey, would it be appropriate if I came with you and went to prayers with you in the mosque? And he's like, yeah, that's totally fine. Awesome, come along. But first we need to wash. And so we were in a restaurant and we went into the bathroom and we started washing our hands, each hand three times. And then each forearm three times. Our face three times, our nose, our hair. And then finally he said, we've got to wash our feet. And I was like, we're in a bathroom, like there's no shower, there's no bath, there's no tap outside. And so he takes his shoe off and he puts his foot up on the basin and just starts washing his foot. And I was like, my hamstrings are just not what they used to be. So, like, kind of groaning as I get my foot up there, like, kind of pulling my hamstring as I do it. Anyway, wash our feet. And I was wearing shorts, and I had to put pants on, so I put pants on. So this whole kind of ordeal. Anyway, we went down to the mosque. And the mosque was actually probably similar size to this room, was one of the rooms, and then there was another room on the side. And both rooms were completely packed, full. And so we were kind of think we were running a bit late, so we were kind of crawling through. You know, in church, if you run late, it's just courtesy, you just sit at the door. You sit at the first seat. No, he was like, come on, come with me. And we go like to the middle of the mosque and we start to pray. Don't worry, I prayed to Jesus. It's okay, just to say that. But there's this beautiful moment, the imam or like the priest was doing like a lecture, like a sermon. And then he moves into the liturgy kind of space. And everyone, from what, like, it was packed. And so I thought, there's no more room to move. Then everyone steps forward and moves to the front part of the mosque. And so now you're, like, shoulder to shoulder, foot to foot, and you're praying with whoever's on either side of you and you're touching. I just found that a really, you know, we sit here in our pews and we pray. And we pray often quietly in our own hearts and our own heads. But there we were standing kind of shoulder to shoulder and praying together. It was quite a special moment. Prayers had finished and it was all in Arabic. I had not a clue what was being said. After it had finished, a guy got up in the back corner by the door and started speaking. And our tour guide said, come on, Nathan, come with me, we've got to go. So we walk, trying to get out the door, but the guide stops and talks to the man that got up and spoke. You could see that he was blind. And just to the side, right next to the door, was a girl lying on the floor. It was midday, but she was asleep. Really looked really malnourished. Is that the right word? And I went through to the next room just to wait for the tour guide. The tour guide was talking with this blind guy, and the blind guy said, I'm blind, I've got four daughters. The daughter that was there was about Luca's age, so about five. So my heart was just like, what? I'm blind, I can't look after my family, I can't look after my girls. Earlier, someone in our tour had extra American money and said to our tour guide, I just feel a real, God's told me to give you this money, can you give it to someone that you see down at the mosque to help them out? So this had happened all before. Meet the blind person, and the tour guide gives the American money to the blind man and says, here, take this. This is from a tour from New Zealand. And the blind man just kind of broke down and just wept and started to cry. And so the tour guide was telling me this afterwards, and I was just blown away by, I suppose, God's moving in that space. And it wasn't really clear to me at the time why I got to experience that. Until we went to the Pool of Siloam, which is our story. So now we come into John 9. All right, so this was, we got to the Pool of Siloam kind of towards the end of our tour, and we were standing on the southern steps of Jerusalem, okay, so just next to the Temple Mount, so it's where the temple was, and there's big steps leading up to it. So we were standing there, and our tour guide said, cool, we're going to now go down to the Pool of Siloam. And so we walked down the steps, and then there's probably, I don't know, maybe a couple of hundred meters through like a courtyard, through another set of steps, onto the road, another couple of hundred meters, down to the city of David, right? So it's the city that David had set up. And we went down into what was called Hezekiah's Tunnel. Hezekiah's Tunnel is a tunnel that Hezekiah built so that when Jerusalem was under siege, was getting attacked, they would still have running water. The water came from outside the city walls and it flowed into the city. And so we went down down into Hezekiah's tunnel. And so we're walking. It wasn't built for 6'4" people, unfortunately. Who would have thought? Right. So we're walking kind of in this tunnel in kind of ankle deep kind of water, and it's about a 600-meter tunnel of solid rock. How did they had two teams dig this tunnel? One team at the start, one team at the end. Okay, meet in the middle. How? There's no GPS back in those days. And it's all like hand, hammer and chisel, knock it out, knock it out. So how did they meet in the middle? It blows my mind. Anyway, 600-meter tunnel. There actually is a part, I think, in the middle where it starts to go this way, and then it stops. Oh, no, we're going the wrong way. We'll go back that way. Tunnel is 600 meters long. When you get out of the tunnel, you enter the Pool of Siloam. And so now we get to our text. Just before our text, so in John 8, what has Jesus been doing? Why is he now walking down the road in John 9? So in John 8, Jesus has just had another verbal battle with the Pharisees. And they're trying to find flaw in him. They're trying to find what's wrong. How can we convict him? How can we get rid of this guy, Jesus? And it gets to the point, it gets heated again, and the Pharisees move to pick up stones. This is it. We're had it with this guy. We're going to pick stones, and we're going to stone him. Yet, Jesus hides, and he slips away. And he moves to get out of the temple, or out of Jerusalem, and he was walking down the street. So that's where we get to the start of John 9. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. Now, it was common in those days for people to beg. Obviously, you're smart, and so when you beg where there's going to be lots of people, all right? So they don't know the exact location where this man was begging or where this interaction happened with Jesus. But everyone kind of thinks you beg where there's people, and there's people near the temple. All right, so we kind of come to think that this happened near the temple. All right, we know, we've read the story. Jesus gets down, he spits in the mud, he rubs the mud on his eyes, and he tells him, go wash in the Pool of Siloam. Now, like I said before, from where we were on the southern steps, it was probably 400 to 500 meters to get to the road, and then it was another couple of hundred meters to get down the road into the city of David. Then it was another 100 meters down to Hezekiah's tunnel, and then it was another 600 meters through the tunnel to get to Siloam, the Pool of Siloam. The man is blind. This is a point that Anne talked about. There's a participation that Jesus wants in this story. Puts the mud in his eyes. Now go wash in the Pool of Siloam. Being a beggar, being blind, was a lonely thing. You didn't have people to help you. The streets of Jerusalem are small and narrow and busy. Yet Jesus says, go and wash in the Pool of Siloam. It probably took a long time. Jesus wants us to take part in our healing. Yes, we know in other parts of the Gospels where Jesus says a word and he's healed. So we know that Jesus can do that, that God can do it, can do that, that God can heal us. But there is also times where we need to step into our healing as well and be a part of our own healing journey. It's kind of like I imagine it as saying, like Jesus saying, do you trust me? Do you trust me to go and wash in the Pool of Siloam? Do you trust me that healing will come? One of the people on our tour, he's the priest at Tawa Anglicans, and he said, I think I got God inviting you to read Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29 is, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper. A common verse from Jeremiah. And so ever since I got back from Israel, I've been reading over that, doing a Lectio Divina, so reading it and reading it and reading it. And what stood out to me, the thing that stood out to me the most from that, is it's a story of when Israel, I don't know the full context, sorry, but Israel have been exiled into Babylon. Babylon is, I think, Iran or Iraq, common in nowadays. And so Israel, the state, people of Israel have been exiled. And in Jeremiah 29, it says, God carried them into exile. The word carried has just jumped out at me. When I carry Simeon or carry Luca, I go where I want, and I can go, I can go where I want. I can carry them however I want on my back or drag them sometimes. But so when I think of carrying, Simeon or Luca is submitted to where I'm going. And so when I think of this passage of the blind man, do you trust me? Jesus is carrying the blind man, is kind of how it is in my imagination. Right, it's not when I get annoyed at the kids and I say, go to your room. Like, it's not I'm going to send you into exile in Jeremiah 29. It's a carried. There's care, there's love, there's compassion in that carrying. So do you trust me? So what does healing, or what has healing looked like for me? How can I participate in my own healing? As many of you know, I stepped down from my role as the youth worker for the parish, and for me it was a toll of the last few years. I've been through cancer a couple of years ago. All throughout COVID, we continued to run youth programs for our young people. There were bouts of depression and anxiety. There were moments where my anger had got the best of me within our family, within our kids. There's moments where I have not done what I said I would do with Katie, and there were bits of my life that just needed to heal. All I wanted to do in those situations was run. I think of when Jesus says to the blind man, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. If that was me, and Jesus says, go and wash so that you can be healed. Like, yep, okay, Jesus. Walk around the corner. That guy's weird. Sit down, get up my mat, wipe the mud off my eyes, and begin to beg again. Actually, better yet, I'll just sweep all of my hurt, all of my sin, all of my pain under my begging mat, and then I'll sit on them, cover them up, and just keep going and keep praying or keep begging and keep doing what I've always done, keep doing what is comfortable to me. But Jesus says, no, do you trust me? I want you to be a part, for you to take part in your healing. I think there are some other passages, points in this passage that kind of gives some clues, I suppose, to how, or maybe bits that help us in our healing journey. One is that Jesus got down to the blind man. He stooped down, he touched him, his spit was in the man's eyes. Like, I don't know if that you've ever just kind of sat and thought with the spit from Jesus' mouth is in the man's eyes. He was with him. Who else in that society and time would have got down to the blind man's level? I can just kind of picture as you walk past, if you had a few spare coins that you would just throw them down. You wouldn't stop. You'd keep going on your day and you'd just throw them down and keep walking. But Jesus stops and he gets down to the man's level. He's face-to-face with the blind man. Jesus is with us in our healing. There's some real encouragement, I think, in there for us, that Jesus is with us. Here, Jesus doesn't just heal with words, but he gets down in the dirt and the dust with us. Gets down in the mess with us. So a question for you to think about is, what is the mess? What is the dirt that you are in? What is the healing that Jesus is calling you to step into and to be a part of? And our healing can be messy. In this, like I said before, in the story we see Jesus spit. Now I remember the first time that I learned to spit as a kid. You know, all the cool kids were spitting and they could form this really awesome ball of saliva and it would just fly for ages and I'd try, but mine would just kind of like spray. Kept practicing, until once I think I got it, I got the hang of this, and so I jumped onto my bike, and we lived on a little bit of a hill, so I'd always ride to the top of the hill and then ride down, but I just learned how to spit, so I was like, man, I'm the coolest person, I'm on my bike and I can spit, and I spat in front of me. I had not learnt the laws of physics or whatever that momentum would carry me into whatever I spat. And so the spat turned around and got me in my face, probably wobbled around on my bike, like, oh, trying to get it off me. But this is messy. Spit is messy. Dirt is messy. Our healing is messy. Our healing is messy. Like I said, I don't want to go through the hard things in my life. I just want to switch on Netflix and be comfortable and just keep going and do what I have always known. No, I don't have sin. I don't have trauma that needs to be processed. I don't need to see the counselor. I don't need to talk to a mentor about this. I don't need to pray about this. It's fine. But Jesus says, no, I want you to take part in your healing. Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. Later in the story, we didn't read it. There's more to the story that we didn't read this morning. But later in the story, Jesus finds the man again. So we left the story. The blind man is healed, and then the Pharisees ask to see him. So he goes to the synagogue, and he sits and he talks with the Pharisees, and they question him, who healed you? How did he heal you? Where is he now? Keep asking him these questions. They didn't believe him, and so they got his parents. Is this your son? Is he born blind? How is he healed? And then they ask the blind man again, and they just keep asking him, keep questioning him. And he says, I don't know, but this guy is a prophet. If he is not from God, then how is it that he healed me? He healed my sight. Gets to the point where they throw this man out of the synagogue. Out of the church, I suppose, which for in a Jewish society, life centered around the synagogue. That was the central place. And so for him to be thrown out, to be excluded from that central place of society was big, right? But Jesus hears about this and he seeks the man out, we read in the rest of John 9. He seeks the man out. He doesn't just leave us once we have been healed. Jesus, in this story, Jesus wasn't finished, right? He calls this man into life. It's been talked through other commentators and theologians that this man was the first martyr, or the first, mind blank. But he was the first martyr, Christian martyr. Right, he was, mind is just not coming up with the right word, that's fine. And so Jesus doesn't just heal us and leave us, right? He comes back, he looks for us, and he keeps the work in our life. So my question for you this morning, for you to reflect on perhaps this week, is what is the healing that Jesus is inviting you into? I think there's a part in this as well that another question to ask is, what is the healing that you can help to bring in other people? how this Christian life is about us mimicking Jesus or doing what Jesus did. And so how are we getting down into the mud and into the dirt and into the mess of those in our lives, of our family, of the people that are around us? What can we learn from Jesus in this story? How are you being invited into your own healing or the healing of others? Now, as a time of reflection or response time this morning, I find it really helpful in church to move my body. You know, I can sit in a pew and I can listen to what whoever's up the front has said, and yeah, that's cool, some good stuff, great. But I feel the moving of my body is a way of worship, is a way of letting what has been said sink in. And so I have with me a bucket of my spit. No, I'm just kidding. Not a product placement of Mitre 10. It was just, or is it? So I have with me a bucket of mud, the finest mud that you can find in Gonville. So good that it's... All right. Now this is an invitation. All right. We want you to spit in it. No. No. This is an invitation. Life with Jesus is an invitation. He draws us in, and he asks us the question: Do you trust me? And so I have a bucket. No, it's not my spit. It's just water and dirt. So there's mud in the bottom of the bucket, and there is a bunch of wet wipes here. And so in a moment, I'll invite you to come up and invite you to just put a bit of mud on your finger. There's plenty to go around. It's a bit cold. Put a bit of mud on your finger. And maybe in your imagination experience, think back to the story of what it would have been like to have this on your eyes. Remember that the man was born, me and Din were talking about this at the start, the man was born blind. He didn't have a perception of what sight is. And so what it would have been like to have this mud on his eyes, and when he was healed, to have sight, to see for the first time. It's pretty incredible. So yeah, come in and grab some mud on your finger. There are a bunch of wet wipes here too, as a symbol of Jesus healing us, as a symbol of Jesus, of us cleaning in the pool of Siloam and us being healed. There's a rubbish bin just out there as well for the wet wipes. Does that make sense? Cool. I'll just pray, and then Grant, maybe if you want to cue some music. Cool, thank you. So I'll just pray, and then, yeah, we'll invite you up to get some mud if you want. Jesus, I thank you so much for this story. God, I thank you that that you don't just heal in one way. You don't say, you don't tell us to go to the pool of Bethesda where it's a known healing pool. You send us to the ordinary pool with the ordinary water of the pool of Siloam, and we can be healed. God, we thank you that you invite us in to be a part of our own healing. We thank you for the sight that comes from that. And I just pray, God, that you would speak to us in this moment, that you would reveal what it is in our life that needs your healing mud, or perhaps what it is in the lives of our friends and those around us. How can we be ones to heal? So I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.